Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Sawtooth Mountain Clinic's Topic of the Month. For October, we'll be discussing zombie infections. Just when you think they're gone for good, they're back. Actually, zombie infections are really latent infections. They can lie dormant in a person's body, hiding from the immune system, and often cause no symptoms. They can be difficult or even impossible to treat. There are three types of zombie infections. There are latent viral infections, latent bacterial infections, and latent parasitic infections. Let's start with the viral ones. First off, there's herpes simplex virus. It's commonly referred to as simply herpes, and it can cause sores on or in the mouth or genitals, and it's spread through direct physical contact. After the first infection, the virus lies dormant in the body for the rest of a person's lifetime. It will occasionally flare up, causing symptoms such as cold sores, also known as fever blisters, or genital sores. If someone is healthy and not pregnant, there aren't any serious health risks, but there can be times of serious discomfort. Next up, varicella zoster virus. This is the virus that causes chickenpox and shingles. It's highly contagious and remains in the body for a lifetime. It can be dangerous, even deadly, especially for babies, pregnant people, or people with weakened immune systems. It also causes the painful blistering condition called shingles. The risk of getting shingles and having complications increases with age. 1 in 10 people that get shingles will go on to develop nerve pain that lasts for months or even years after the rash disappears. Next is human immunodeficiency virus, HIV. This virus impacts a person's immune system and makes them less able to fight off infections and other diseases. It can lead to the development of acquired immunodeficiency syndrome, AIDS. There are medications that can prevent this virus from replicating. They slow or stop the disease from getting worse, but it's also possible for the virus to hide out and then reactivate in the future. There's also human papillomavirus, HPV. HPV is the most common sexually transmitted infection in the U.S. There are multiple strains, and they can cause health issues such as genital warts and cancer. Hepatitis C is also a latent viral infection. Hep C is a blood-borne virus that injures the liver. It can be acute or chronic, and you might not notice symptoms until after the damage is done. Luckily, it can be cured most of the time, so screening is important to stop this zombie in its tracks before it causes cirrhosis or liver cancer. Tuberculosis is a latent bacterial infection. This airborne bacteria can lead to illness upon infection and then lie in wait for a lifetime. If not treated correctly, TB can be serious or even fatal. What about latent parasitic infections? Perhaps you've heard of Toxoplasma gondii. It's the most common parasitic infection. When active in the body, it causes the condition called toxoplasmosis. Infection occurs by eating undercooked, contaminated meat, exposure to the feces of an infected cat, or from mother to child during pregnancy. Most people don't exhibit any symptoms, but T. gondii can cause serious complications for people with weakened immune systems or babies born to infected mothers. So how do you go about protecting yourself and your family from these zombies? For chickenpox, shingles, and HPV, there's a safe and effective way to make sure that you or your children don't have to fight off zombie attackers, now or in the future. It's vaccination. The chickenpox vaccine protects kids while they're young, and it also protects them from shingles when they're older. HPV vaccination slashes the chances of a child ever developing cervical cancer. There is a vaccine against TB, but it causes a positive TB skin test, and its use is controversial. It's not often given in the U.S. There's currently no vaccination for herpes or HIV. Protect yourself from herpes by avoiding intimate contact, such as kissing or sex, during an outbreak. HIV can only be spread if bodily fluids are shared. This is prevented by correctly using condoms and refraining from sharing injection drug equipment. Toxoplasmosis can be prevented by making sure produce and kitchen utensils are washed, meat is thoroughly cooked, and cat litter boxes are only cleaned by people that are not at risk for complications. The thought of infections reanimating themselves inside our bodies and wreaking havoc on our health is scary. It makes good sense to take preventative measures to protect ourselves and our families. On the flip side, though, are things that are protective but have gotten undeserved bad reputations. This can lead some people to be afraid of things that are actually helpful. So here are some things that are not really scary at all. First off, DEET. Available since 1957, DEET is the standard against which all other insect repellents are measured. It repels multiple biting insects, including mosquitoes, ticks, flies, and fleas. Although the way it works is still being studied, what is well understood is DEET's high level of safety. Between the early 1980s and the late 1990s, there were 14 reported cases of brain damage in children that might have been caused by DEET exposure. This caused concerns that still linger today. What is not often considered, though, are the 100 million annual applications of DEET that were made during that same time. Problems associated with DEET are almost exclusively caused by misuse, either not following usage directions or ingestion. When used correctly, there are virtually no health hazards from DEET, either for adults or children. Fluoride. Fluoride is a naturally occurring mineral that's found in varying amounts in water sources and some foods. It's also added to dental hygiene products and to many municipal water systems. Fluoride helps protect against cavities in two ways. First, before a child's teeth erupt through the gums, fluoride enables the tooth enamel to better develop. This is called a systemic benefit. Later, after teeth are through the gums, the fluoride in dental products and drinking water helps to rebuild or remineralize weakened enamel and can reverse early signs of decay. This is called a topical benefit. The tiny amount added to municipal drinking water is safe for everyone, from newborns to elders. There is no evidence of any negative health effects, either from water fluoridation programs or from the use of fluoridated dental products. It's impossible to overfluoridate yourself with optimally fluoridated drinking water. But dental products are more concentrated. Because of that, small children should always be supervised while brushing to ensure that they don't eat or drink fluoridated dental products. Here's a hint. Don't rinse your mouth after brushing. Leave the fluoride on your teeth and let it get to work. Thimerosal is a substance that's also gotten a bad rap. It preserves vaccines and prevents them from becoming contaminated with microbes. Its actual name is ethyl mercury, and it's very different from its cousin, methyl mercury. Methyl is produced by microbes from the naturally occurring element mercury, and it's found throughout the environment. It's poisonous and can build up in our food. That's why we should limit our consumption of certain types of fish. Ethyl, on the other hand, has very low toxicity and is rapidly metabolized and excreted from our bodies. Its safety has been researched for decades, and there's no link between its use and any type of health problem. This is similar to another methyl ethyl family, methyl alcohol and ethyl alcohol. Methyl alcohol is poisonous and is used to make antifreeze. Ingesting even one tablespoon of it can be lethal. Ethyl alcohol is found in beverages such as beer and wine. When consumed by adults in small quantities, its toxicity is low. Something else that's a concern for people, but that's actually very safe, is receiving multiple vaccines at the same time. Antigens are foreign substances that cause an immune response in our bodies. This can include germs or vaccines. The number of antigens that are found in any combination of vaccines is minuscule compared to the number of antigens that we encounter on a daily basis, just by eating, breathing, and moving around in our germ-covered world. The recommended vaccine schedule for children is based on two factors. One, the age at which the immune system can best provide protection after vaccination, and two, the need to protect children as early as possible based on the risks of that disease. There are advantages to combining vaccines. First, multiple vaccines at once offer both children and adults quicker protection from multiple diseases. And secondly, giving several shots at the same time means fewer trips to the clinic, saving time, money, and hassle. Vaccines are safe and effective, and the approved schedules and combinations have been carefully developed to provide maximum protection. If you've got questions, just contact your SMC provider. They're happy to answer your questions about vaccines, product safety, or infectious diseases. Just call 218-387-2330. Thank you for tuning in, and remember, we've got a whole library of topics of the month. Most of them are in written format, but every one that's been done in 2022 is also in audio format. You can find them at our website, www.sawtoothmountainclinic.org.